Good morning, everyone. Great to see everyone here today. It's a little bit different when I come up nowadays because you've got to juggle your water bottle and your mask and all sorts of different things being from the front. Can I say happy Father's Day to those who are dads out there? It's an exciting day, and as Steve said, it can be exciting and yet also can be also have a tinge of sadness. But we trust in God and we give thanks to Him that He is our Heavenly Father. Now, we don't always do this, but I just thought I'd kick it off with this one, and it can be more for the people who are inside this room, but if you're on Zoom, feel free to put a chat across. What did you come up with in the discussion question? You can name names if they're not in this building, if you don't want to embarrass them, but you know, what is that you're sort of looking for? This is going to be interesting because I live in the same house as this person. Zach, what did you come up with? Oh, is that because you were influenced by your auntie? Yes. No bias at all. And why? Because it's fun. Okay, what else was out there in terms of who would you want to live with and why? Any other responses, whether it was yours or somebody else's? Yep, Elaine? You don't want to live with anyone else. And how come? Because Matt's perfect. Excellent. To which Matt also laughs. Okay, just see how that goes a little bit. And obviously that's going to tie in with what we're looking at today with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have any questions, make sure that you write them down. And I know that sometimes those at home, sort of looking at the camera at the moment, you find it a little bit hard in terms of the volume with the microphone. So if that's the case, just send a Zoom message and Jack will read that and he can give me a sort of a gesture that I need to be louder to the mic. So at home, we want you to make sure that you can hear us. And so if you're finding it hard to listen, just send a message across and I'll look to Jack if he gives us a sort of a thumbs up or thumbs down. Now, there's a youth group game that sometimes gets played, especially when you're trying to meet one of the youths or you're trying to find out about the speaker. It's a game called Would You Rather? And the idea is you have two options, and would you rather option A or option B? So just try that for a little bit at the moment. You know, answer in your own heads, or you can put your hand up if you want. But out of these questions, would you rather tea or coffee? Would you rather, thanks Zach, well, I'll get your hands at the moment. Would you rather maths or English? Would you rather a PC or a Mac? Would you rather reading a book or catching up with friends? Would you rather a day in the mountains or a day at the beach? Now, here's another question, which I think is a little bit trickier in some ways. Would you rather Jesus here or Jesus gone? Because that's kind of the question there in verse 7. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. It's actually better that I'm gone. Sometimes I think, you know, it's very easy when you're talking to somebody about Jesus and they talk about how, you know, well, why isn't he here? And sometimes it's easy to think that I wish I could have been there to be with the disciples and to hear Jesus, to talk with him, to see him as he heals the sick and he walks on water, feeds the 5,000, raises the dead. If only we could see Jesus. If Jesus was here, wouldn't that be much greater? But then Jesus gives a strange answer to say, it is for your good. It's better that I'm gone. Because in the second half of verse 7, unless I go, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, won't come to you. Now, it's not that Jesus and the Holy Spirit can't stand each other. Yeah, it's not that Jesus comes in the room, the other one has to disappear. It's not working like that. It's because at this point, Jesus has not finished his work yet. You see, the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit, God is going to pour out the Holy Spirit as part of his blessing when God's kingdom comes in. Now, God's kingdom only comes in when the king is seated on the throne. And so that's why Jesus has to go. Jesus has to die. He has to be raised to life again and then to be seated at the right hand of God on his throne. And that's when we start seeing the blessings of God's kingdom, including the Holy Spirit. It's at that point that Jesus is going to send out the Holy Spirit. And here's why it's also such a great thing. Because it's not just having God's Son, it's not just having Jesus physically in one place here on earth. That's what took place 2,000 years ago. But as Jesus sends out the Holy Spirit, we have God the Spirit now in every place, with all of his people, wherever they are. It is for their good. Now, we're working our way through the Apostles' Creed. This is talk number 7. It's a series that will go for 10 talks. Here we are at talk number 7. And today we're looking at the third person of the Trinity. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, all sorts of questions come up with that. Who is the Holy Spirit? How does he work? When does he come? Do I even have the Holy Spirit? How do I know? What does he do? Now, I wish I had an hour to talk about this. I didn't realize how much material there was to go through. I'm not going to talk about it now. But I'm not going to be able to cover everything about the Holy Spirit. I want to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully we'll answer some of those questions as we go. But before we get into that, let me just say a few things about the Holy Spirit to make sure that we are on the right track. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a power. He's not some mystic force out there. He's not an energy. He's not the force like in Star Wars. He's a person. Which is why in John chapter 16, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, he calls the Holy Spirit a he. He doesn't say that he is an it. Want to know a bit of the Greek sitting behind that? The word for spirit is actually neuter. But the pronoun Jesus uses is masculine. He talks about the Holy Spirit as he. And the Holy Spirit, he does things that only a person would do. The Holy Spirit, he thinks, he feels, he grieves, he guides, he leads. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a power. But he's also fully divine. He is fully God. And so in Acts chapter 5, there's that strange incident as Ananias lies to the Holy Spirit. It's the same as lying to God. And when Jesus gives the Great Commission, people are baptized in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is personal. He is divine. He's the third person of the Trinity. That's who we're talking about when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Just want to make those things clear from the beginning to make sure that we're not with a few of the misconceptions around. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit? What does he do? Now, there's three big things that he does. There's more that we could say about the Holy Spirit, his work in creation during the ministry of Jesus. But there's three key things that is the job of the Holy Spirit. He glorifies Jesus. He grows the believer. And he gives life to the unbeliever. And so the first one, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Take a look at John chapter 16. Let me pick it up in verse 13. The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. You see, the Holy Spirit's job is not to bring glory to himself, but to bring glory to Jesus. He's not Kath and Kim. His message is not, look at me, be amazed by who I am. His message is, look at Jesus. Go to him. Be amazed by who he is. Dawn and I went to a concert a couple of years ago, back in the days when you could go to a concert. We went to the Opera House and we were there at night time. And when we arrived, because it was nighttime, there were these spotlights that were aimed at the Opera House to light it up and to make it look beautiful. Now, the idea is that you don't go up and say, wow, look at those spotlights. Look at how beautiful they are. See how round they are. The idea is you look at the building, what they're pointing at, and say how beautiful the building is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shines a light onto Jesus so that we can say how beautiful, how glorious he is. The Holy Spirit is fully God, but his job is to point to someone else. It's why, this is a question from last week, if you were here in question and answer time, that's why in the Apostles' Creed, there's 6 lines about Jesus and only 1 line about the Holy Spirit. It makes sense. The Holy Spirit is trying to point us to Jesus. It's also why it doesn't make sense to emphasize the Holy Spirit and to make him the center of attention. Because when you do that, you actually miss what the Holy Spirit is on about, what his mission is. In John 15:26, he testifies about Jesus. And then in John 16, his mission is to glorify Jesus. Holy Spirit does that in a few different ways. He does it by causing the Old Testament to be written, and that points to Jesus. He does it through the apostles as they preach and as they write down the New Testament. And that's why in John 16, the Spirit is going to guide them into truth, so that we know about Jesus. Jesus is glorified as we read about him in the pages of Scripture. The one place that God promises to speak to us, the one place where we know the Holy Spirit works, is through the Bible. Ephesians 6, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit speak in other ways? He can. But how do you know if it's not just a gut feeling or it's me just thinking something up? The one place God promises to speak to us, the one place where the Holy Spirit promises to point us to Jesus, is the Word of God. It's the Bible. And as the Holy Spirit is at work, he helps us to understand the Bible, helps us to see Jesus, and so Jesus is glorified. And as we speak the Bible to others, the Holy Spirit brings glory to Christ. He glorifies Jesus. The second thing he does is that he grows the Christian. He grows us in godliness. He's not a power, but he gives us power to live for God. And so Romans 8 is another of those great passages which talks about the Holy Spirit. It's talked about as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. The connection is that strong. It's both of them. And if we have the Holy Spirit, we are able to live God's way. We start wanting what the Spirit wants. And we are alive to God and we are dead to sin. Romans 8:13, the Spirit helps us to put to death the misdeeds of the body. We are able to start killing off our sinful nature. And so maybe you're an angry person and it's hard to change. But by the Spirit, we can start putting that to death and we become less angry. Or I can be a lustful person and it's hard to change, but if the Holy Spirit is in me, God is working in me to be more pure. Or you might be somebody who's selfish and self-centered and it's hard to change, but God is at work through his Spirit to be thinking about others. Now, some of us are very insensitive to our sin and probably we need the Holy Spirit to convict us and to see what it is that we need to wrestle with. Others of us are very sensitive to our sin and we find that we keep falling into the same sin over and over again. And we think there's no way that I can climb my way out of it. And by ourselves, we can't. But there is a power that is not me. It is God inside of me. And he changes us. Instead, he replaces it with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit and character like love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, to become more and more like Jesus. That is the Spirit at work in us, growing us in godliness. That is encouraging. And he also grows us in gifts. Godliness and gifts. He gives gifts to the church so that the Christian grows and the church grows. In Ephesians 4, the Holy Spirit gives these word gifts because that's how the Spirit works. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, there's all sorts of gifts from the Spirit, teaching, healing, helping people, gifts of administration. I'm looking at Elaine there. All sorts of gifts to grow the church. Every single one of us here, if we put our trust in Jesus, we have gifts to serve the church. Have you thought about what your gift is? How has God made you? Maybe you're good at organizing things. Maybe you're good at encouraging, that you can pick up the phone and give someone a call and ask how they're going. We have people at Barney's who are like that. The 9 o'clock service, they're great at that during this period of COVID, just calling each other up. That's a gift from the Spirit. Have you got the resources? Has God given you the resources so that you can be generous? The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Not just the person up the front, not just the person in the back, but all of us. The question is, what are we going to do with it? It means that we need to be at church, don't we? To meet with God's people, whether it's physically or on Zoom, that we need to contact each other, to be in touch with each other. It means that we need to come with a heart to serve. The Holy Spirit grows the Christian in gifts and godliness. Now we need to work at it. We need to do something, but the Holy Spirit helps us. Eva is our youngest daughter. She's learning the piano. She's still relatively small, so she's got a long way to go. A couple of weeks ago, Dawn showed me a video of Eva at her piano lesson. And so there Eva is. She's playing a simple tune. Yeah, it's kind of a little bit clunky, but her piano teacher is next to her, playing right next to her, adding all these different notes and a bit of accompaniment, going at the same time as Eva. The teacher is taking the notes that Eva plays and she turns them into a masterpiece. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He takes our efforts that are kind of clunky, trying to grow in godliness, trying to use our gifts, and he makes them a masterpiece. I believe in the Holy Spirit. He glorifies Jesus, he grows the believer, and he gives life to the unbeliever. Back again in John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit's job is to point us to the truth and to help the world to see the truth about Jesus and about ourselves. That we are sinful. We have not put our trust in God or his King. We are not righteous. Only Jesus can return to the Father. And judgment is real. Whether it's the prince of the world, Satan, or the rest of us who follow him. The Holy Spirit works in us to see that and to stir in us this desire to realize that we desperately need Jesus. To become a Christian is a work of the Holy Spirit. I remember meeting up with somebody a number of years ago. We were reading the Bible. It was Dawn, me, and that other person, somebody who wasn't part of this church. And as we were reading the Bible, it just started making sense over a number of weeks. It made sense to her that Jesus is the only way she could be saved. Could she add anything to her salvation? No. And for us, it's because we've been wrestling through the Bible with her, trying to explain things and talk about things, and we could see things come together. Now, that was from our perspective. But go behind the scenes, and from God's side, it's as if the gospel is a penny. And the Holy Spirit grabs that penny and he makes it drop. He brings it together so that that person can see Jesus and her need to put her trust in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit working in us that actually makes us become Christians in the first place. If you are a Christian, if you put your trust in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. He marks us as God's people. He is that seal in Ephesians 1 verse 13. He is the deposit guaranteeing our future. He cries out with our spirit as the spirit of sonship so that on Father's Day, we can call God our Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And by ourselves, we can do none of that. But the Holy Spirit gives life to the unbeliever. Sometimes it seems impossible that someone you know, that it feels that it's impossible for them to put their trust in Jesus. You know, you've had conversations with them in the past. It seems like nothing's going to get through. There's this big wall that you can't penetrate. The good news is we have somebody who's working on the inside. It's a little bit like the French Resistance. Germany took over France in World War II, but there was a resistance group inside of France that kept fighting back. They would gather intelligence. They would blow up bridges. They would sabotage the train lines so that when the Allies attacked from the outside, they already had people on the inside working with them. When we tell people the gospel, sometimes it can seem like there's a war that we can't get through. But there's someone on the inside. Not a bunch of people running around with some guns. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God who works in them so that they put their trust in Jesus. He opens up their eyes and their hearts. They don't stand a chance if the Holy Spirit is at work. Who does God want you to talk to? Who have you given up on? Maybe it's someone at work. Maybe it's a school friend. Someone you had conversations with in the past, but it just got too hard. They never seemed interested. Maybe it's your family, your mum and dad, or your kids. We need to remember that God's Spirit is powerfully at work, and He gives life to dead spaces. He gives life to the world. I believe. Six little words, but they are huge, aren't they? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, we said that earlier with the Apostles' Creed, but when you say that and you stop and think about who the Holy Spirit is, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? At least it should. Because I'm saying I believe that He is glorifying Jesus right now. He shines a light on Jesus so that I can see Him, and I want to be doing the same. Is my mission to bring glory to Jesus. I believe He's growing the believer. He's growing me so that I can get rid of sin and so that I can use my gifts to build the church. My broken heart, my broken efforts, He makes it into a masterpiece. I believe, what do I need to change? Where do I need to serve? I believe He can melt even the hardest heart and bring them to Jesus because He did that with mine. As I step out into the world, you know, who is living with me? Not just who's the person at home, who is with me every second of the day? It's not just God with me. That is good, but it's better than that. It is God in me. And the Holy Spirit is doing all sorts of things. It's incredible what He's doing. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give You thanks and praise that You have not left us by ourselves. We thank You that You've given us the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank You for the many weeks that we've looked at the incredible things that He did for us on the cross and is still doing as He reigns on high and as He intercedes for us. We thank You, Lord, that He has left us with the Holy Spirit, that we have God in us. Help us to be excited by that great truth that we say in just six words. And Lord, that we want to give our lives to You, that we want to bring glory to Jesus, that we want to grow and grow Your people. And Lord, that we want people to have life as they come to know Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen.